with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome, this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. Well, there was a big event last week, or the week before, on the, I believe on the 17th, where many observatories, many telescopes, not only caught a gravitational wave, but they saw the light event. So it wasn't just gravitational waves. It was visible, too, of two neutron stars colliding. So it gave off gravitational waves and a host of other radiation in the electromagnetic spectrum. So that was an exciting event. It can help astronomers understand a lot of new things, test their theories, maybe develop new theories. So what is happening in astronomy? Well, there's Hubble is making a survey of all the things in the Messier catalog. So what is the Messier catalog? Well, it is a bunch of collection of, I think, about 105, mostly galaxies that are numbered. So Hubble's making a collection of them. And I guess it already has a collection, but now I'm seeing a beautiful 107 things in the Messier catalog. And they're mostly galaxies, things like that. So star clusters, the pillars of creation, a lot of beautiful nebulas. So Hubble's doing that. And as I said, there was the gravitational wave, and I could talk a little bit about that today. But one thing I always wanted to talk more about was water. Water is, that's why we're alive. We have water. And in the search for life, NASA's scouring the solar system and thinking, well, Enceladus, one of the moons, the icy moon of Saturn, it has a subsurface ocean. So that's quite exciting. And some other moons have found there's water. And there's all these complicated, interesting technical ways to test. I recall one of them was when they test the wobble of the planet, if there's water, then the wobble is different than if the planet is wobbling without water. So imagine we go below the surface of the ocean to the bottom, and there's all kinds of life there when there's no sunlight. So there's volcanic fissures where lava comes out, and life is flourishing down there. So why can't it flourish up in Enceladus? And one of the reasons we can have life is water. That's one of the requirements, astronomers, and we don't know. We might find another civilization one of these years or billion or millions of years from now do not live on water. The moon Titan of Saturn, the second biggest moon in the solar system, it has seas of hydrocarbons, methane, stuff like that, lakes, rivers. So I always wanted to talk about water because water is an interesting molecule. And even when it freezes, there's, I believe, five different classifications of ice. And in the outer solar system where things are very, very cold, the ice is almost like rock. It is rock. It's so hard. So there's five classifications. And one of the things that really interests me about water is it's a very polar molecule. That's because oxygen really wants the electrons more than hydrogen does. So it's on the side of the water molecule where there's oxygen, there's a negative polarity. The other side where there's the two hydrogens, there's a positive polarity. And water bonds because of that. And if not for this high difference in electronegativity, making water a very, very polar molecule, water, it's not a bond, but it's a force. So water molecules attach together due to this force because of the difference in the polarity in the molecule, in the electronegativity. Phew, that was a hard one. So if you go directly below oxygen in the periodic table, the three elements below, when you plot their freezing points as opposed to H2O, if it followed the straight line, water should freeze at something like minus 50 minus 100 degrees. I don't know the exact number. But because of the polarity of the hydrogen and the two hydrogens and the oxygens in the water molecule, it's such a high polarity, such a difference in the negative. Oxygen has, it attracts the electrons. It has a higher electronegativity. So the electrons in the H2O molecule are closer to the oxygen. So this makes the oxygen negative and the hydrogens on the bottom plus. So in an H2O molecule, the H will be attracted to the O of another H2O. So they will form a chain, not a bond, but it's a force that holds them together. Because of this difference in the electronegativity, because of the polarity of the H2O molecule, water, its hydrogen force, the traction, is so strong, it does not freeze at what scientists, if you extrapolate what the other molecules below oxygen freeze at. So really, oxygen and water, when it's, or oxygen and hydrogen, two hydrogens, when it's combined together to make water, it freezes at a point where it's just not expected. It's much higher than if you extrapolate on the graph. I hope I can show you this one day, but I will pull up a periodic table and try to explain it better. But what happens is that life as we know it might not be possible if we had water freezing at a much lower point. Imagine, could we exist? So the prediction is water should have frozen. Oh, there we go. There's a periodic table. So now I could hopefully explain a bit better. So below the oxygen in the periodic table, there's sulfur, selenium. I can't even read this. It's so small. I'll try to get another period. So anyway, there's O. Below O is sulfur with atomic number 16, and selenium, atomic number 34, and TE, I don't know what that is, atomic number 52. So in a plot of these molecules and the TE, SE, and S, as you follow the freezing point, it keeps going down much below zero. So oxygen is just above sulfur in the periodic table. So if you extrapolate the line, then water should freeze at a much, much lower temperature. That it doesn't is due to the difference in electronegativity between hydrogen and oxygen. So oxygen wants the electrons more. So it's a highly polar molecule. And in this way, the hydrogen forces, or the forces of attraction between the positive H's on a water molecule and the negative O's on another water molecule, they attract. And that's why water resists freezing at the lower temperature that scientists, if they draw the straight line, they could predict. So we're alive because water freezes at a much higher temperature than we would think. And water is present in different forms in the solar system. In the outer reaches of the solar system, we have a lot of icy moons, icy comets. There's debate as to how did water come to the Earth. I think they thought it was comets, but what happens is there's a molecule, or there's an atom called deuterium. It's heavy hydrogen. Usually hydrogen has one proton, one electron. Heavy hydrogen has one electron, one proton, and one neutron. So it still has one proton, which makes it hydrogen. Now, if you have a heavy water molecule, it is a deuterium instead of hydrogen bonded to the oxygen. So I believe on comets, there is 5 out of 10,000 molecules of water on a comet are of heavy water, or they have heavy hydrogen. On the Earth, I believe it is water that we have, every 10 molecules out of 10,000 molecules have heavy water. And I believe that asteroids are 10 hydrogen or 10 heavy hydrogen molecules per 10,000. So I hope that made sense, but scientists believe that now the water came from asteroids, the water on our Earth, because the heavy hydrogen on our surface of the Earth matches the percentage of heavy hydrogen on asteroids. So water is an interesting thing. Why did the water on Mars suddenly evaporate? There could be subsurface water, but I believe if it's on the surface of Mars, then the water will evaporate into its atmosphere. So scientists believe that Mars had water on its surface before, and they're not sure why Mars lost its water. Now, water is very important, of course. We cannot live without it. And the discovery of water on the Saturn moon of Enceladus, and I believe one moon on Jupiter, in the Jupiter system, and maybe another moon on the Saturn system, they have subsurface water. So that's an exciting prospect that life could probably be found. So water is an interesting thing. There are so many different forms of ice, five forms of ice on. So water is transparent and nearly colors chemical substance that is the main constituent of Earth's streams, lakes, and oceans, and the fluids of most living organisms. We are mostly water, I think. So water refers to the liquid state of a substance that prevails at a standard ambient temperature and pressure. But it also refers to it as solid state, ice, gaseous state, and water also occurs in snow, glacier, ice packs, iceberg clouds. And as we know, water covers 71% of the Earth's surface, and it is vital for all known forms of life on Earth. So I hope to one day do a show on water, because the way that our whole life, our whole existence depends on water. So we have a beautiful ocean. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. So I hope to do something on water, but now I'm going to switch a bit and I'm going to go to Mars. So Mars MAVEN mission finds Mars has a twisted tail. What does that mean? Okay, this is on www.nasa.gov. It's dated October 19th, 2017. Here I go. I'm going to start to read it. Mars has an invisible magnetic tail that is twisted by interaction with the solar wind, according to new research using data from NASA's MAVEN spacecraft. NASA's Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution Mission, or MAVEN. So that's M-A-V-E-N. So M stands for Mars, A stands for atmosphere, V stands for volatile, E stands for evolution, N stands for mission. It should stand for mission, N, but our N, MAVEN is N, and the last word is M. So anyway, MAVEN we'll call it. The MAVEN spacecraft is in orbit about Mars, gathering data on how the red planet lost much of its atmosphere and water, transforming from a world that could have supported life billion years ago into a cold and inhospitable place today. The process that creates the twisted tail could also answer some of Mars, could allow some of Mars's already thin atmosphere to escape to space, according to the research team. So says Gina DiBrascio of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and quote, "We found that Mars' magnetic tail or magnetotail is unique in the solar system. It's not like the magnetotail found at Venus, a planet with no magnetic field of its own. Nor is it like Earth, which is surrounded by its own internally generated magnetic field. Instead, it is a hybrid between the two," end quote. That's interesting. DiBrascio is project scientist for MAVEN and is presenting the research at a briefing on Thursday, October 19th. The team found that a process called magnetic reconnection must have a big role in creating the Martian magnetotail, because if reconnection were occurring, it would put the twist in the tail. So I am going to go for a break now, and after I come back, we're going to talk more about all these fun things, and hopefully one day I can do a nice show on water. Anyway, this is Marco. You're listening to Astroc on 101.9.
Known pimp, narcotics king, big time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
No, we're just trying to win this dance.
You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on Astrotop.
We got the Refugees All-Stars, Rubber Devin in the club, Y Club Jean.
Look at here, look at shorty got back. Should I ask him for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cats talking to her, buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another one half hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Ouija's, check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad because you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Me, I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. Yeah. My food slang flow worldwide like a current. Whip to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half an exotic. My man's claim true, you forget about it.
Welcome back, this is Marco. You listen to Astro Talk on 101.9. So I was talking earlier about water and this fascinating molecule that we have on Earth. It's a very polar molecule, and that's because of this, the there's a high negative charge on the oxygen end of the water molecule and a high positive charge on the hydrogen part. So the hydrogen of end of one molecule attracts the oxygen of another water molecule, and it's called hydrogen bonding, but it's a force. So it keeps the water together, and it keeps water freezing at a much higher temperature than it would been predicted from a graph that I will bring up one day. But anyway, we all know we can't live without water, and there's lots of research on Mars. Why did Mars lose its water? The moons of our solar system, some of them have been found to have a subsurface ocean, and some of them, they have more water than the Earth has water, and they're much smaller than Earth. So this is quite exciting. Is there life in the subsurface areas? As we know, if we go down to the bottom of our ocean, we find life even when the sun doesn't reach down there. So water is an exciting thing to study. So get back to MAVEN. MAVEN is the Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution Mission spacecraft. It's in orbit around Mars, and it gathers data on how Mars lost much of its atmosphere and water. So it's transforming from a world that billions of years ago had water, and it was possible it could have supported life. So get back to our article here. It's called NASA's MAVEN Mission Finds Mars Has a Twisted Tail. And earlier I quoted a scientist, Gina DiBrascio of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. And there's another quote from her, so I'm going to say it. Here's the quote. Our model predicted that magnetic reconnection will cause the Martian magnetotail to twist 45 degrees from what's expected based on the direction of the magnetic field carried by the solar wind. When we compared these predictions to MAVEN data on the direction of the Martian and solar wind magnetic fields, they were in very good agreement, end quote. So what does that mean? I'll read on and maybe that will explain to you. Okay, I don't want to mangle it and get it all wrong, so I'll just keep reading the article rather than giving you a nice incorrect interpretation. So here we go. Back to the article. Mars lost its global magnetic field billions of years ago and now just has remnant fossil magnetic fields embedded in certain regions of its surface. According to the new work, Mars's magnetotail is formed when magnetic fields carried by the solar wind join with the magnetic fields embedded in the Martian surface in a process called magnetic reconnection. The solar wind is a stream of electrically conducting gas continuously blowing from the sun's surface into space at about 1 million miles per hour. It carries magnetic fields from the sun with it. If the solar wind field happens to be oriented in the opposite direction to the field in the Martian surface, the two fields join together in magnetic reconnection. So I read an article about another, they were trying to find if, I think they found there was electrons or charged ions in the atmosphere of Mars. And I believe they called that magnetic reconnection. I'm trying to recall, or it could have been another planet, but magnetic reconnection happens on Earth. And I believe in Jupiter and Saturn, there are times when the spacecrafts they have up there send back signals, and we don't receive them. Not we, not me, but the scientists don't receive them. So what happens, they believe that the ions and the electrons in the atmosphere of these planets, they interfere with the signals. So there's so much to study here in astronomy, isn't there? So I think we're talking now about ions in the atmosphere of Mars and how the Mars's magnetic field interacts with the solar wind's I guess it's a magnetic field, a magnetic tail. Okay, back to the article. The magnetic reconnection process also might propel some of Mars's atmosphere into space. Mars's upper atmosphere has electrically charged particles, or ions. Ions respond to electric and magnetic forces and flow along magnetic field lines. Since the Martian magnetic tail is formed by linking surface magnetic fields to solar winds, ions in the Martian upper atmosphere have a pathway to space if they flow down the magnetotail, or magnetotail, I'm not sure what it is. Like a stretched rubber band suddenly snapping to a new shape, magnetic reconnection also releases energy, which could actively propel ions in the Martian atmosphere down the magnetotail into space. So this is a story on Mars, but I'm thinking it's also kind of astrophysics. It's kind of like, imagine you can study Mars, all kinds of things. Is there water there? Is there magnetic fields? Are there ions? It's all so cool when you can study any kind of field, even on Mars. You don't have to study a supernova to study astrophysics. Back to the article. Since Mars has a patchwork of surface magnetic fields, scientists had suspected that the Martian magnetotail would be a complex hybrid between that of a planet with no magnetic field at all and that found behind a planet with a global magnetic field. Extensive MAVEN data, so remember MAVEN is a spacecraft that's orbiting Mars, on the Martian magnetic field allowed the team to be the first to confirm this. MAVEN's orbit continually changes its orientation with respect to the Sun, allowing measurements to be made covering all of the regions surrounding Mars and building up a map of the magnetotail and its interactions with the solar wind. Magnetic fields are invisible, but their direction and strength can be measured by the magnetometer instrument on MAVEN, which the team used to make the observations. They plan to examine data from other instruments on MAVEN to see if escaping particles map to the same regions where they see reconnected magnetic fields to confirm that reconnection is contributing to Martian atmospheric loss and determine how significant it is. They will also gather more magnetometer data over the next few years to see how the various surface magnetic fields affect the tail as Mars rotates. This rotation, coupled with an ever-changing solar wind magnetic field, creates an extremely dynamic Martian magnetotail, says DiBrascio. Mars is really complicated, but really interesting at the same time. So thank you for listening. We talked a bit about a few things today, and what I really want to talk about one day is water, because there's so many unique properties of water, and in particular, how the difference in electronegativity between the oxygen atom and the hydrogen atom. So electronegativity is a measure of how strongly an atom wants electrons. So they pull electrons toward them. So in an H2O bond, the electrons are closer to the oxygen, making the oxygen end negative. The hydrogen ends are positive. So it's a very polar molecule. So because of this, the oxygen on one molecule, which is very negative, can be attracted to the positive end of another wall of molecule. So this force, the hydrogen bonding, it's called the hydrogen bonding, but it's a force. It keeps the water molecules together, and it prevents them from freezing at a much lower point than what would be expected when you extrapolate data from other elements. So thank you for listening. This has been AstroTalk. You're listening to Marco. Hope you tune in next week. Thank you for listening.